The CBS News Weekend Roundup, coming up next.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in just one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with one single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No more juggling emails or calls to your office. You can quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 800,000 businesses. And right now, listeners of the show can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. One more time so you can try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial.
This is the CBS News Weekend Roundup, a special edition from Cleveland, Ohio, wrapping up the Republican National Convention and looking ahead to the Democrats this coming week in Philadelphia. I'm Dan Revive in Cleveland. We begin with highlights of what Donald Trump had to say in his acceptance speech on Thursday night.
Our roads and bridges are falling apart. Our airports are third world condition. And 43 million Americans are in food stamps. This is the legacy of Hillary Clinton. Death, destruction, terrorism, and weakness. It is time to show the whole world that America is back, bigger and better and stronger than ever before. I am going to bring back our jobs to Ohio and Pennsylvania and New York and Michigan and all of America. And I am not going to let companies move to other countries, firing their employees along the way without consequence. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And we will make America great again. God bless you.
What a story. Keep in mind, in June of last year, Donald Trump announced he was running for president, and a lot of people did not take him seriously. The billionaire businessman, a real estate tycoon who became a TV star thanks to his reality show, The Apprentice, Trump, right here, has been confirmed as the Republican Party candidate for president of the United States. We have reports on how Thursday night went from CBS News correspondents Stephen Portnoy, Steve Futterman, and Steve Dorsey.
Celebrating a long-shot victory as the GOP presidential nominee, Donald Trump vowed to lead Republicans to victory.
Together, we will lead our party back to the White House, and we will lead our country back to safety, prosperity, and peace.
Trump promised to rebuild the country's crumbling infrastructure and airports, fight criminals and terrorists, and advocate for the working class, minorities, and gay Americans.
I am your voice.
This is a moment that these delegates are so happy to see. Ma'am, you're from Florida. What'd you think of the speech?
I thought it was great. I think it's what America needs to hear from Donald Trump, and I think his family is absolutely gorgeous. We've got a new dynasty.
He's got to win Florida to win it. Is he going to win Florida?
Absolutely.
It's a balloon fest here in Cleveland. More than 100,000 balloons being dropped from the ceiling. Confetti being dropped from the ceiling. And on stage, the Republican ticket, Donald Trump and Mike Pence applauding.
As balloons and confetti blanket the floor, House Speaker Paul Ryan gavels this convention to a close. GOP delegates now head home, united behind their most unlikely standard bearer, energized by the hope that Donald Trump can beat Hillary Clinton in November.
Later, we'll hear some of what Trump's running mate said to the convention, Indiana Governor Mike Pence. Delegates seemed happy on Tuesday, the second day of the convention, to confirm by acclamation, no formal vote necessary, to embrace Pence as their nominee for vice president. Let's go back to the start of the convention Monday here in the Quicken Loans Arena, which is home to the winningest team in the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers. No sign of the basketball court. Instead, there were almost 2,500 red folding chairs for all the delegates, surrounded by red carpeting. And of course, the color theme in this arena was mostly red, white, and blue. Here's CBS News correspondent Major Garrett.
Shattering generations of tradition, Donald Trump made a rock star entrance at the opening night of the Republican National Convention.
We're going to win so big. Thank you.
Introducing his third wife, Melania, a Slovenian-born model. Trump watched from the sidelines as she attempted to soften the rough edges of his campaign persona.
He's tough when he has to be, but he's also kind and fair and caring.
The theme of the night, Make America Safe Again. It featured a relentless depiction of America in danger.
The sense of safety that many of us once took for granted has been shattered.
Our very existence is threatened.
And stinging criticism of Hillary Clinton.
Who would trust Hillary Clinton to protect them?
She deserves to be in stripes.
Roll call vote!
The day opened with a raucous fight over convention rules. As many anti-Trump delegates led by Utah Senator Mike Lee tried to rally opposition to the presumptive nominee, leading to chaos on the convention floor and confusion on stage.
Those opposed shall say no.
In Major Garrett's report, you heard one man ask, who would trust Hillary Clinton to protect them? That was Rudy Giuliani. He was mayor of New York City at the time of 9/11, considered tough on crime and against terrorism. More of what Giuliani said, often shouting as he condemned Hillary Clinton for not caring, he said, about the four Americans who died in Benghazi, Libya.
What difference does it make? See the arrogant disregard for American lives lost unnecessarily because of her.
And Giuliani condemned the nuclear deal with Iran reached by the Obama administration.
We are actually giving them the money to fund the terrorists who are killing us and our allies. We are giving them the money. Are we crazy?
You've heard that on Monday night in this convention's first session, Donald Trump's wife, Melania, spoke about him. She's a legal immigrant from Slovenia, now a U.S. citizen, who came to this country for her work as a model 20 years ago. She's 46 years old. Donald Trump last month turned 70. More of what Melania Trump had to say.
Donald has a great and deep and unbounding determination and a never give up attitude. I have been with Donald for 18 years, and I have been aware of his love for this country since we first met. If you want someone to fight for you and your country, I can assure you, he's the guy.
CBS's Steve Futterman was near the stage watching.
She talked about sides of Donald Trump that don't often emerge. The kind Donald Trump, the loving Donald Trump. It's what you would expect from a husband and wife. And right now on the stage, Donald Trump embraces his wife, gives her a kiss, a huge smile on his face, a thumbs up. She gave a very loving tribute to her husband and said he is the man who should lead the United States.
That report from Monday night, but hours later, trouble was brewing about Melania Trump's speech. Allegations that some of her phrases were stolen from Michelle Obama. That story and a lot more coming up on the CBS News Weekend Roundup. This is the CBS News Weekend Roundup at the Republican Convention in Cleveland, where the House band was very talented, but very, very loud. I'm Dan Revive. What seemed like a big story broke overnight as the second day of the four-day convention began. It was noticed that parts of Melania Trump's speech on Monday night about her husband and herself were very similar to words and phrases used by Michelle Obama at the Democratic convention 8 years ago.
From a young age, my parents impressed on me the values that you work hard for what you want in life.
Barack and I were raised with so many of the same values. Like, you work hard for what you want in life.
That your word is your bond, and you do what you say and keep your promise.
That your word is your bond, that you do what you say you're gonna do.
That you treat people with respect.
That you treat people with dignity and respect.
CBS News correspondent Juliana Goldman had more details of the apparent plagiarism.
At least 58 words appeared to be lifted. Cable news swooped in.
What I wonder is, how could anybody be so fundamentally stupid as to believe that you can give a speech like this and no one would notice?
I would have been fired for this. There's no question about that.
Donald and Melania Trump talked with NBC News in the lead up to her speech.
Has she gone over the speech with you? Did you practice it on the plane?
I read once over it, and that's all, because I wrote it and with a little help.
It took about 36 hours till we found out who did help her, and a writer who has worked for the Trumps for a long time admitted she put some of Michelle Obama's phrases in the speech and apologized for not checking if the lines were original. CBS's Major Garrett reported Wednesday.
From the beginning, campaign chairman Paul Manafort has dismissed the story as a non-event, pretending similarities didn't exist and Melania's speech stood on its own.
There was nothing that she did in that speech that she thought was anybody's words but herself.
That was the fourth explanation offered in the speech saga. First, Melania told NBC she mostly wrote it herself. Then the campaign said a team of writers worked on it. Then two speechwriters from the George W. Bush White House said they submitted a draft that was rewritten. And finally,
today, an employee of the Trump Business Organization, Meredith McIver, said in a statement she took notes from Melania, who said she'd always liked Michelle Obama and rewrote a draft of the speech, borrowing from the First Lady. McIver said she offered to resign, but Trump turned her down. George W. Bush's chief speechwriter, Mike Gerson, said the story matters because it speaks to disorganization within Trump world.
It was a mid-level problem that turned larger because of the ineffectiveness of the campaign itself. They proved they couldn't do crisis management when it really mattered.
And here's Major Garrett's report on what happened on day two of the convention Tuesday night, including speeches by Trump's daughter Tiffany, who's 22, and his eldest child, Donald Jr., who's 38. The report begins with Speaker of the House Paul Ryan. In case you're wondering, he's 46.
I formally declare Donald J. Trump and Michael R. Pence, the Republican nominees for President and Vice President of these United States.
The Republican Party and Donald Trump now intertwined in a political marriage as historic as it is improbable.
And it is my honor to be able to throw Donald Trump over the top in the delegate count tonight.
Trump's ascension was a family affair. Son Don Jr., a delegate from New York, cast the deciding votes.
Today has been a very, very special day, watching my children put me over the top. And by the way, we are going to win the state of Ohio. And also, of course, we're going to win the presidency and bring real change and leadership back to Washington.
Later, Trump's eldest son and youngest daughter described their father as a source of discipline, support, and inspiration.
My father is so friendly, so considerate, so funny, and so real.
For my father, impossible is just the starting point.
In prime time, Don described something never seen before in American politics, a blue-collar billionaire.
He didn't hide out behind some desk in an executive suite. He spent his career with regular Americans. If Hillary Clinton were elected, she'd be the first president who couldn't pass a basic background check. She says she'll issue executive orders to take away Americans' guns. She wants to appoint judges who will abolish the Second Amendment. Rather than prosecuting real criminals, she would strip hard-working, law-abiding citizens of their rights to protect themselves and their families. We're going to put Americans first. All Americans. Not a special class of crony elites at the top of the heap. We're going to elect a president who will work with everyone to pass legislation that will make our country great again. A president who will give us a tax code that will free the American economy and end special loopholes for the wealthy. a president who will give us an immigration law that protects American citizens and gives them jobs. A president who will repeal and replace Obamacare without leaving our most vulnerable citizens without health care, and who will do it without destroying Medicare for seniors, as Hillary Clinton has proposed. A president who knows we can't simply delete our problems, but that we have to tackle them head on. A president who speaks his mind, and not just when it behooves him to do so. Who doesn't have to run a focus group or use data analytics to be able to form a simple opinion.
During our broadcast Tuesday night, just after that speech by Donald Trump Jr., I asked CBS News analyst Professor Leonard Steinhorn if he found that kind of Trump doctrine for governing impressive.
What you heard from Donald Trump Jr. was sort of the same rhetoric you heard from Donald Trump Sr., sort of the sense of, I might be a rich guy, but I stand with the regular people. I'm one of us. We're all together in this, working class, business people. We're in this together. We are not elites like the Democrats. We are not aristocrats like the people that Hillary Clinton hangs around with. We don't think we are better than the average American.
People are going to raise that saying, how can you say you're closer to ordinary people than lots of other folks out there and many of the Democrats?
Lenny, there is the possibility that the Democrats have an advantage this year because their convention is second. It's next week in Philadelphia. They have a better idea about some points they need to emphasize to answer what's been said here.
Well, yes, because they're trying to portray Donald Trump as sort of this everyman, somebody who's one of us, somebody who understands the regular Americans, the ordinary Americans, the blue-collar Americans, and who isn't part of the sort of government aristocracy, the crony elites, as Donald Trump Jr. called it. So the Democrats are going to hear that. They're going to understand who Donald Trump is trying to appeal to, and they're going to try to answer that at their own convention with their own imagery and rhetoric and attacks on Donald Trump as being out of touch with ordinary Americans.
We'll move on to Donald Trump Sr.'s running mate, Mike Pence, how he introduced himself from the podium here at the convention in Cleveland. That and more on the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
The CBS News Weekend Roundup after this short break.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup from the Republican Convention site in Cleveland, I'm Dan Revive. The third night, Wednesday, included the running mate's big speech.
America needs to be strong for the world to be safe, and on the world stage, Donald Trump will lead from strength.
Many of the more than 2,400 delegates knew very little about Mike Pence until Donald Trump chose him to be the candidate for vice president. Now they chanted, "We like Mike." And the Indiana governor, for half an hour, laid out policy promises.
Under Donald Trump, our deals will be smarter, and our veterans will have what they earned. We will secure our borders, protect our nation. In all this, we will be more serious, and when we do, this nation will start winning again.
Governor Pence, with a smile, impersonated Trump's favorite adjective.
When Donald Trump becomes president of the United States of America, the change will be huge.
But there also were speeches by three men who ran for president and lost to Trump. CBS's Steve Futterman on the convention floor.
I think this evening may be best remembered more for the jeers than the cheers. Ted Cruz was booed off stage. He refused to endorse Donald Trump. He did congratulate him on winning the nomination, but would not endorse him. At the end, Trump delegates were chanting Trump, 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 wanting him to endorse Trump. He would not do it.
If you love our country and love your children as much as I know that you do, stand and speak and vote your conscience. Vote for candidates up and down the ticket who you trust to defend our freedom and to be faithful to the Constitution. God bless each and every one of you, and God bless the United States of America.
Trump later tweeted, "Wow, Ted Cruz got booed off the stage, didn't honor the pledge," meaning the promise to support the party's nominee. Trump says he saw Cruz's text in advance, but let him speak anyway. No big deal. Also on Twitter, much noticed was Trump puckering his lips for an air kiss near Mike Pence's forehead. Trump later tweeting that his running mate was fantastic. His son Eric Trump gave his speech praising his dad.
"To whom much is given, much will be required. This is the very belief that compelled my father to make this great sacrifice."
Running for president to fix deep problems, said Eric Trump. The other two competitors in the Republican primaries who spoke on Wednesday were Scott Walker, governor of Wisconsin, who said, "Vote for Trump.
Make no mistake, we can't wait 4 years to get him next time. The consequences are too great."
And Marco Rubio, the Florida senator, didn't come here after all his bitter squabbles with Trump during the primaries, but Rubio did send a conciliatory video that was shown.
"After a long and spirited primary, the time for fighting each other is over. It's time to come together and fight for a new direction for America. It's time to win in November."
As for Ted Cruz being booed off the stage when perhaps he thought defiance would help his chances in the year 2020, CBS's Bob Schieffer comments.
"The establishment Republicans, I have to tell you, some of them were absolutely delighted. Some of his colleagues in the U.S. Senate, and I'm talking about Republicans now, he is not very popular. He has always worn that as kind of a badge of honor, but he is not very popular among his colleagues. And one of them told me, Republican senator, he said, I laughed out loud when I saw what was happening to him. He said, I didn't think anybody could be that stupid to do what he did."
There was an interesting attempt by Newt Gingrich to clean up some of the mess left by Senator Ted Cruz. Former House Speaker Gingrich said it's terrific that Donald Trump was willing to let his former rivals in the bitter primaries come here to address the party.
"He encouraged his competitors to speak once again. Governor Rick Perry, Governor Chris Christie, Governor Scott Walker, Dr. Ben Carson, Senator Marco Rubio, and Senator Ted Cruz have all responded to Donald Trump's generosity. Now, I think you misunderstood one paragraph that Ted Cruz, who is a superb orator, said. And I just want to point it out to you. Ted Cruz said, you can vote your conscience for anyone who will uphold the Constitution. In this election, there is only one candidate who will uphold the Constitution. To paraphrase Ted Cruz, if you want to protect the Constitution of the United States, the only possible candidate this fall is the Trump-Pence Republican ticket."
I asked CBS News contributor Peter Mayer, a retired correspondent, why Newt Gingrich is trying so hard, doing so much, after he had hoped to be Trump's running mate and at age 73 could just walk away.
"It is sheer political ambition, and I have to say, long-held enmity that Newt Gingrich has for Hillary Clinton. Some might recall that Gingrich has clashed with the Clintons for many years."
Another prominent Republican who wanted to be Trump's vice president, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, is indicating he's interested in some job in a Trump administration. Because he's a former prosecutor, Christie's speech to the convention Tuesday had some delegates on their feet shouting that Hillary Clinton should be locked up.
"As to Hillary Clinton lying to the American people about her selfish, awful judgment in making our secrets vulnerable, what's your verdict? Guilty or not guilty?" Now, time after time after time, the facts, and just the facts, lead you to the same verdict, both around the world and here at home. In Libya and Nigeria, guilty. In China and Syria, in Iran and Russia and Cuba, and here at home, for risking America's secrets to keep her own and lying to cover it all up. Her focus group tested persona with no genuineness to be found is a sham meant to obscure all the facts and leave you able to vote for her. We cannot promote someone to commander-in-chief who has made the world a more violent and dangerous place with every bad judgment she's made. We cannot make the chief law enforcement officer of the United States someone who has risked America's secrets and lied to the American people about it day after day after day. We have an alternative. We have a man who is unafraid. We have a man who wants to lead us. We have a man who understands the frustrations and the aspirations of our fellow citizens. We need to demand more than what Hillary Clinton offers for America. Because, see, we know exactly what 4 years of Hillary Clinton will bring. All the failures of the Obama years, but with less charm and more lies.
Hillary Clinton tweeted a response that said, if you think Chris Christie can lecture anyone on ethics, we have a bridge to sell you. You probably get the joke. You're listening to a special edition of the CBS News Weekend Roundup from the Republican Convention in Cleveland. This coming week, we'll be in Philadelphia with the Democrats. Please follow us on Twitter at CBS Radio News, and I'm at Dan Raviv. Here in Cleveland, Ohio, on the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Dan Raviv. As we wrap up the Republican National Convention, there was one last speech by a child of Donald Trump, Ivanka, who's become very popular. She often was one of the judges on her father's TV competition show, The Apprentice. Ivanka spoke at the fourth and final session of the convention on Thursday night. Her task was to introduce Donald Trump, the Republican Party's official candidate now for president.
He is colorblind and gender neutral. He hires the best person for the job, period. At my father's company, there are more female than male executives. Women are paid equally for the work that we do, and when a woman becomes a mother, she is supported, not shut out. Donald Trump is the person to make America great again.
Ivanka Trump, who is 34 years old, speaking here in Cleveland on Thursday night. Perhaps the strangest speech at the Republican convention was by Ben Carson, the retired neurosurgeon who ran for president but failed. He's often been out campaigning for Donald Trump. In this part of his speech, Dr. Carson pointed out that while at Wellesley College in 1969, Hillary Rodham wrote a 92-page thesis about a left-wing community organizer, Saul Alinsky, who died in 1972, but according to Ben Carson, is still an inspiration for that woman, now known as Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Let me tell you something about Saul Alinsky. He wrote a book called Rules for Radicals. On the dedication page, it acknowledges Lucifer, the original radical who gained his own kingdom. Now think about that. This is a nation where our founding document, the Declaration of Independence, talks about certain inalienable rights that come from our Creator. This is a nation where every coin in our pocket and every bill in our wallet says, "In God we trust." So are we willing to elect someone as president who has as their role model somebody who acknowledges Lucifer? Think about that.
To put it in simple form, Dr. Ben Carson seemed to be linking Hillary Clinton with devil worship. Thus, her beliefs, he contends, are anti-American. Here's something else to consider. Opinion polls indicate that both candidates for president, Clinton and Donald Trump, are not liked, trusted, and respected by a majority of people. And CBS's Bob Schieffer here at the convention said the Republican Party has a lot on the line with a standard bearer who's so unorthodox.
The Republican Party is betting its future now on a candidate who has never held public office, never served in the military, is anti-trade, anti-entitlement reform, and has proposed a budget critics say would add trillions of dollars to the national debt. By any conventional reasoning, he is a long shot, but this is not a typical year. Republican primary voters chose him because they say he speaks his mind and they feel abandoned by their party leaders. But his nomination has left this party deeply divided, so divided. Modern history shows that candidates outside their party mainstreams don't do well. Barry Goldwater wrestled the nomination from the Republican establishment in 64, but lost to Lyndon Johnson. Democrats kicked out party regulars in 72 and nominated George McGovern. He won only one state. Donald Trump may or may not win, but in a party facing an identity crisis, the overriding question here is he changing the party for better or worse, or, as many establishment Republicans worry, destroying it altogether?
Bob Schieffer, our former host of Face the Nation. During our broadcasts from the convention, I spoke with CBS News Homeland Security correspondent Jeff Pegues, who was here in Cleveland looking at how the thousands of police, federal agents, and National Guard troops had created a secure zone where everyone had to be pre-registered and wear credentials. Protesters were kept at least half a dozen blocks away.
We've seen protests, but for the most part, they've been small protests, and we've seen this large police presence keep them under control, keep them from clashing with counter-protests.
Were the plans adjusted because of terrorism overseas, whether at the airport in Istanbul or Nice, France, where people were mowed down? Were there any changes made here because of the foreign events?
Well, yes. Given the threat environment, not only domestically but internationally, they adjusted the plans really down to the last minute, because you had the incident in Baton Rouge, of course, on Sunday, where three police officers were killed. And so, really, we were told that they were refining their plans.
CBS's Jeff Pegues. Also here in Cleveland, correspondent Juliana Goldman found the convention, despite attracting more than 2,000 delegates and more than 40,000 other people involved, turned out not to be highly profitable for the city's businesses.
The few blocks around the security perimeter feel like a typical convention.
T-shirts, only 10 bucks here, guys.
Vendors selling swag, restaurants crowded with delegates, media, and Republican officials.
We got a queso fundido.
But across the rest of this town, it's a different story. Several blocks away, employees at newly opened Coastal Taco say the supposed RNC economic boon has been a bust.
We send people home, you know, take the night off.
Managing partner Aaron Clyde says they staffed up and extended hours.
What were the expectations?
High. I mean, it's going to be great. You know, it's going to be this huge windfall. You know, it hasn't been. In fact, it's been a little bit of a ghost town.
Heightened security concerns and Donald Trump's controversial candidacy turned away millions of dollars in corporate sponsorship. That meant fewer parties with rented out restaurants, less cash for businesses and employees.
Now just one non-Cleveland, non-political story we'd like to bring you, a report on the life of Gary Marshall, an amusing and good-hearted TV and movie director. He has died at age 81. CBS's Anthony Mason looks back.
In his many successful sitcoms and films, Gary Marshall's trademark was always human comedy.
No.
I tried once to blow something up. I don't blow things up well.
Gary found ways to make you want to run to work.
Director Ron Howard first encountered Marshall when he was a child star on The Andy Griffith Show.
And Gary had been doing the Dick Van Dyke Show on that same lot.
Did you know each other?
I knew who he was.
Marshall would later cast Howard in a sitcom he created set in the 1950s.
Sunday, Monday, Happy Days.
Launched in 1974, Happy Days would run for 10 years. He did it again with a string of hits, Laverne and Shirley, Mork and Mindy, dominating prime time for more than a decade. On film, he gave us Pretty Woman. And The Princess Diaries, and always mentored his actors. It's nice to be important, Gary Marshall once said.
Cut!
It's more important to be nice. Anthony Mason, CBS News, Hollywood.
We'll get back to politics on this special edition from Cleveland when the CBS News Weekend Roundup continues.
The CBS News Weekend Roundup after this short break.
America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and about $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card could make all the difference. And today, at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 full-color business cards for only $9.99. That's right, only $9.99. Just go to Vistaprint.com and enter promo code 1919 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 1919.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, reporting from Cleveland, I'm Dan Revive. While the Republicans were laying out their case to the nation why Donald Trump should be president, Hillary Clinton was preparing for her party's convention in Philadelphia this coming week. CBS's John Dickerson, host of Face the Nation, considers what and whom the Democratic Party delegates will see.
Well, I think there will be more marquee politicians. So you'll have the president, the vice president, former president Bill Clinton. So you'll have a kind of a higher level of elected office there talking. There'll be more star power. Democratic Party always has more ties into Hollywood and that kind of thing. I think also that there will be an argument that America is not in the sense of decline that the Trump campaign and the RNC would suggest, that America has a resilience and, in fact, has bounced back from a lot of challenges that it has faced. And it will be much more hopeful and uplifting in all the theme music. There's nothing more uplifting than the idea of Make America Great Again. But that slogan doesn't necessarily match the mood music, which was very, very dark. And so I think Democrats are going to try and kind of do the opposite.
In general, the Republican campaign says things are bad in this country and getting worse, and most of us are in danger. The Democrats say things are good thanks to the Obama administration, and Clinton can make things even better. She or her staff did comment on the Republican convention. For instance, Tuesday night, after Chris Christie suggested she's guilty of endangering secrets and the lives of Americans, Clinton's Twitter account had this comment: "If you think Chris Christie can lecture anyone on ethics, we have a bridge to sell you." You probably get the joke. And in Cincinnati, after she addressed the NAACP, Hillary Clinton sat down for a long interview with Charlie Rose of CBS This Morning. Here's part of that.
You believe Donald Trump is dangerous? You believe Donald Trump is not fit to be president?
I think he has shown that he is dangerous, that he poses...
In what way?
Well, in several ways. When someone running for president says in the most offhand way he doesn't really care whether other countries get nuclear weapons, including Saudi Arabia.
Japan.
But let's focus on Saudi Arabia. Okay. We have done everything we can, Democratic and Republican administrations going back decades, to try to prevent the proliferation of nuclear weapons. That casual indifference to the worst weapons that we have ever created in the world is dangerous. It's either a lack of knowledge about what he's saying means, or it's an indifference to the power that he is seeking. And I saw in an article, a long article, that Donald Trump being near the nuclear code would pose a danger to civilization.
And
now,
you
that's
agree
not
with that?
Me. And I do agree with that, Charlie. And I don't say that lightly, and I don't say it with any satisfaction.
No, Donald Trump with his finger on the nuclear bomb would be a threat to civilization.
He has shown no self-discipline, no self-control, no sense of history, no understanding of the limits of the kind of power that any president should impose upon himself. He has shown none of that. Let's return to torture. And you know what? I will order the American military to commit war crimes. Let's pull out of NATO. We don't need them. What he has laid out is the most dangerous, reckless approach to being president than I think we've ever seen.
The most dangerous man ever to run for president of the United States.
I believe that.
People worry about the tone of this campaign so far. You said in Springfield, you take some responsibility
right.
for that.
Right.
That
yeah.
you take responsibility for your part of that.
Right.
You could do better.
And I'm going to do better.
How are you going to do better?
Well,
I'm going to refuse to engage with Donald Trump
when he
begins his...
No, but I refuse to respond to his personal insults. I refuse to drop to the level that he is driving our politics down toward. He's going to be insulting me, insulting everybody.
Insulting your husband.
Insulting my husband. Who knows? My granddaughter. I don't know who he's going to be insulting. I am not responding on that level.
To talk about your husband's private life, not his public life, is unfair?
They can talk about whatever they want to talk about, but we're not responding. And, you know, Republicans have tried this now for a very long time, and I'm happy to have them keep trying it. It hasn't worked out so well for them.
Hillary Clinton questioned by CBS's Charlie Rose. And on our broadcast 60 Minutes last Sunday, Donald Trump sat with the running mate he had just chosen, Governor Mike Pence. Here's part of what they told correspondent Leslie Stahl.
We're both ready. I have no doubt. We need toughness. We need strength. Obama's weak. Hillary's weak. And part of it is that, a big part of it. We are going to get rid of ISIS, big league, and we're going to get rid of them fast. And we're going to use surrounding states. We're going to use NATO, probably. And we're going to declare war. It is war. When the World Trade Center comes tumbling down with thousands of people being killed, people are still, I have friends that are still
suffering.
Well,
we did go to war, if you remember. We went to Iraq.
Yeah, you went to Iraq, but that was handled so badly. And that was a war, by the way. That was a war that we shouldn't have done because Iraq did not knock down.
Your running mate voted for it.
I don't care.
What do you mean you don't care that he voted?
It's a long time ago. And he voted that way, and they were also misled. A lot of information was given to people, but I was against the war in Iraq from the beginning.
Yeah, but you've used that vote that of Hillary's, that was the same as Governor Pence,
many people
as the example of her bad judgment.
Many people have, and frankly, I'm one of the few that was right on Iraq.
Yeah, but what about he did?
He's entitled to make a mistake every once in a while.
But she's not. Okay, come on.
But she's not.
She's not.
No, she's not.
Got it. Okay, this is my absolute final question. You're not known to be a humble man, but I wonder...
I think I am actually humble. I think I'm much more humble than you would understand.
As you think about the prospect of running this country in these tough times where the world is spinning apart, are you awed? Are you intimidated? Are you humbled by the enormity of this? Mm.
You just said it best. Mm. In a world that's spinning apart, it is spinning. Our world is spinning out of control. Our country's spinning out of control. That's what I think about. And I'll stop that.
Talking with him in private settings, I love the words you used. Because this man is awed with the American people, and he is not intimidated by the world. And Donald Trump, this good man, I believe will be a great president of the United States.
I love what he just said.
Donald Trump doing most of the talking. His running mate Mike Pence is indeed a quiet man, and in almost every way, he seems more conservative. That's our look at politics at this tumultuous time. The Republicans have had their convention here. The Democrats on Monday begin their convention in Philadelphia. We'll have full coverage on the radio, or please find us online. You can use our app for your smartphone. The free app is called CBS Radio News. Produced in Washington by Howard Arenstein, in Cleveland with the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Dan Revive, CBS News.